At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Surfside Invitational at Ramblewood Country Club. The rain could not stop us. No. And you know who else can't be stopped? That is one Elliott Shore Parks. Brought to you by Groundworks. Tackle your wet basement, drywall cracks, or nasty smells coming from your crawl space by booking a free inspection at groundworks.com. I can attest to that. Elliott Shore Parks, what's up, brother?
What up? How you guys doing today?
Dude,
what up, E?
I'm doing great. Sixers have a top three pick. Yeah, I'm in great spirits.
Yes, well deserved.
You know, before we get to the Eagles, as that is your specialty, as you're the Go Birds podcast, you seem to have, since the Sixers got the third pick, immediately pivoted to becoming an Ace Bailey fan account online.
Like one of those annoying high school muses.
Yeah, you're like the Belieber. You're like a Swiftie for Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey season.
How did that happen so quickly, Elliot?
Well, to be fair, I told you guys, I think it was last week, that I liked Ace Bailey more than I liked Cooper Flagg.
You said he's Kevin Durant.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say this is a new take of mine, but yeah, I mean, you know, I have an opinion on it. I apologize.
No, I'm not guilty.
Here we go. Mopey Elliot again.
Elliot. It's just you've gone so hard with it is like the... I'm just shocked by the vigor with which you're...
Well, you're... I think it's because it's a great opportunity for the team. I mean, this team has been, you know, hard to watch, hard to follow for the past year. They finally get something to be excited about. And I think Ace Bailey is an awesome opportunity for this team. I think that he's exactly what they need. I think he has the upside they need. I think he's a big swing, which I feel like this team needs. And I think he's what, like, their roster is missing. So when they got that third pick last night, I think it was like a franchise-altering moment for them, potentially. And if they do take Ace Bailey, I think it would be an outstanding pick.
Do you think it's fair, just to get off the Ace Bailey thing for a second, do you have hope again for the – that's the sort of thing we're talking about today – for the organization moving forward? Is there hope again for you?
Definitely. And, like, I will say, I mean – I've probably defended me and Ike, I would say, actually, I've probably defended the Sixers more on these airwaves than any other like host, right, over the past few years.
Even I
last year like was out, right? Like it was, I mean, I think the Embiid thing's a disaster. I think the Paul George contract was a bad one. Like it was hard to have hope. But like now, if they actually nail this pick at three, there's like three guys that you could actually be excited about on the roster. We'll see how McCain comes back from his injury. But I think hope's the perfect word. Like, it was the first time in a long time it didn't feel to me like this team was, you know, completely down in the dumps.
Yeah, I think that when I think about hope, I think even if the Embiid thing doesn't work, even if the Paul George thing doesn't work, if you were to tell a team that they're starting a restart with Maxey, McCain, the three pick, all but one of your own picks and those two Clipper picks, you would look and you would say, all right, like, I have something to work with there. And it doesn't, there's not like this you know, pathway in front of you that some of these teams after right. they went for it are faced with, where they don't have it. Like Milwaukee's in hell. If they have to trade Giannis, their next seven picks, they don't, like, four of them are traded and three of them are swaps. That's horrible, you know, and we're not in that situation. Okay.
Well, I do, just if you don't mind, yeah. really quickly, like, yep. I think hope is the right word for it. But I also think what's nice about this number three pick is, like, there is no baggage with this guy. You know, you think of all the guys that have been on the Sixers, all of them have a ton of baggage. Embiid has had baggage. Harden had baggage when he came here. Obviously, Ben Simmons did. Like, Doc Rivers. Like, just there's been such a long run of guys where you can't feel like a freshness for him. And I think that's why people gravitated to Maxey. I think it's why people are excited about McCain. And now next year, they'll legitimately have three guys that really don't have much negative baggage attached to them. And it's been a really long time since the Sixers have had that.
Yeah, and I think based on the Sixers got us a video last night of Jared McCain saying hi to the crowd after they got the third pick. And when we put it up on the screen, the reaction, people love McCain. Like, yeah. you could just see the energy. People are really in on him. We already know how they feel about Maxey, too. So I think those are some – I think no baggage is a good way to put it with those guys. So we have four games on the schedule so far for the Eagles as they continue to ruin – the NFL continues to ruin the schedule unveiling tomorrow night. We have week one, Thursday night football at home against the Cowboys. We have week 10 – Monday Night Football against the Packers. We have Week 13, Black Friday, against the Chicago Bears and the Commanders.
Is that a home game?
That is a home game.
Okay.
And then Week 16 at the Washington Commanders, which is a Saturday. Elliot, any based on the games you know so far and what they still have to lay in, any thoughts are like, oh, they got screwed here or I like this here, anything there on the schedule for you?
I would say for Week 1, it's kind of like a bit of a disappointing matchup. I think it would have been more exciting if this was the Lions or the Rams. I think the Cowboys are, it's the Cowboys. It's always going to be a matchup that gets the city excited. And I guess we do finally get to see Jalen versus Dak in a meaningful game. It feels like through circumstances, we never really get to see them play both at the same time in a game that holds meaning. But I think the Week 1 game was a bit underwhelming. As for the rest of the schedule, I mean, I think the other takeaway is just, like, they are obviously a massive primetime team. Like, they are playing on Friday, Saturday. They're playing the first game of the season. They're in that Black Friday game. Wouldn't shock me if they played on New Year's. Like,
won the Super Bowl.
No, I know. I'm saying the NFL is putting the Eagles every single place they can. Like, they are the team right now in terms of just, like, what draws ratings. Obviously, they're competitive. So, you know, without seeing the other games intertwined in terms of how they laid out, I do think that the clear takeaway is the NFL is going to promote the Eagles as much as they can.
Do you, Ike, do you like the Eagles being like that team?
Yeah.
Because I'm still stuck on, I kind of like I miss a little bit the underdog
disrespected.
Yeah. I guess I don't know how to carry myself as a fan of a team.
We're a two-time champion.
I get it.
You know,
we're
the cream of the crop in the NFL right now. We're a young team. We're young on defense. We're very explosive on offense. They got a lot of guys that are you can view as sort of faces of the league, and quite frankly, not just because they won the Super Bowl, but because they won the Super Bowl, everybody's looking up at the Eagles. I look at the other teams. I don't know if there's another team in the league that has the level of excitement around the caliber of players that they have on their team like we do. I would literally have to think about that. Like, some people may have it with the quarterback position, but then Kansas City doesn't have great wide receivers. Like, they don't have a running game.
You know what's crazy?
They just love Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
You know what's crazy is a team that might have as much star power but have not done didn't do anything last year. Is the Bengals? Like the Bengals have
offensively, yes,
and even on defense they have Hendrickson on defense who's not happy.
Well,
yeah. It's hard to think of another team. Even the Lions, who have a couple of great players, I don't think of as having the star power that the Eagles
have. Think about the Eagles with DeJean and Quinion, and then you got Jalen Carter in the middle. Like, we got it on both sides of the ball, man. They are a very exciting young team with a quarterback that has a face for the league. I mean, now they got to get him to be a little bit more vocal, but maybe he never will be. But if he had a little bit more of that personality sprinkled in there, we'd be running the league for sure.
Well, the other thing, too, about the Eagles is, like, you're right about the talent and, like, they're also interesting. Like, Sirianni and Jalen have clearly amassed a resume.
There's nothing interesting about Jalen.
No, I think there is. Like,
well, he's one of the 100 most influential people in the history of the world.
I like Jalen, Elliott. Okay, what's interesting about him?
I'm not saying Jalen himself is interesting.
Okay.
I'm saying Jalen and Sirianni have a very split view about them nationally compared to what their resume is. Like, Mahomes and Andy clearly have an outstanding resume. You're not going to find many people, though, that would look at Mahomes and go, oh, he's not actually elite. Or, like, say at Andy, well, he's not a great head coach. Like, right. I think nationally, I mean, frankly, even in the city, like, people are still somewhat split on Jalen and Nick. So not only do you get a team in prime time that is competitive, that is talented, but you get a team where, like, people have strong opinions about them. And I think that all put together is why you see them in so many primetime spots.
How do you, Elliot, how, you know, the being the big dog, not just being the Super Bowl champion, but having that sort of star power, having that sort of national profile, it is different for the players than the other way. What is your confidence on the players' ability to, you know, to attack a season as that team, as opposed to a team that is trying to prove that what happened last year isn't real anymore?
You know, so I think, like, the easy answer to that would be, oh, well, they're built for this. Like, you know, you see Jalen's work ethic, age, like, all that. But the truth is, every single team that wins a Super Bowl, people think they're going to handle it well the next year. No one in 2017 thought the 2018 team was going to kind of collapse the way they did. In 2022, nobody thought the 2023 team would be like that. So, frankly, if there is actually any evidence of how they'll handle it, it might not be good because they handled something somewhat similar in 2022. And obviously, they won it this time around, which changes things. But you look at 2022, I mean, they didn't even win a playoff game in 2023. So I just think the truth is, having been around now three teams that were, like, involved in a Super Bowl, it's very, very hard to do. So I think the reality is, like, it's probably not going to be the walk in the park we think it'll be, despite the good roster they have.
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree. We're on our stripes this year as fans getting through this season.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This won't be easy. They are the hunted, right? Everybody's going to be gunning for them. You look at the majority of their toughest games are on the road. A lot of road tough games. You got 9 road games this year versus having 8 last year. You're playing a first place schedule. You're the measuring stick for everyone, and you're going to get everybody's best shot. And it's a reason why you don't have a lot of repeat Super Bowl winners. Elliot just said it. A lot of people think they are going into those seasons with the right mentality and focused and trying to repeat, but it just doesn't happen. And I guarantee you, all those players and all those teams and coaches thought they were doing the right thing the following year, and thought they had it sort of, but it's human nature.
Yep.
You just don't know how everybody's going to handle success. You don't know if you're going to get the same injury luck this year that you got last year. Like, a lot of those things go into whether or not you're going to be a repeat champion. Not easy to do.
I would say, too, like, with the schedule coming out tomorrow, like, you had asked, like, what the initial takeaways from the schedule were. Yeah. And we don't know all the games yet. But, like, when I did my mock schedule, when I tried to put together, like, the ideal way this could go for the Eagles.
That was awesome, too. I don't think I've ever seen somebody put together a mock schedule, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's next level.
One and only.
Yeah.
But, you know, normally when I do this, it is you can string together 3-4 games where it's like, okay, here's like a nice stretch where they can kind of rebound if they need to. And I know these games will look different by the time they're played. But when that schedule comes out tomorrow, I would be very surprised if we sit and look at it and go, okay, here's like an easy stretch. Because you look at their games, and there's the Raiders, who will probably be bad, right? But they're probably the easiest team they have on the schedule off the top of my head. I would say the Raiders. And then there's the Giants.
Oh, we got the NFC East.
Right, so there's the Giants. Like, those would be the two teams. But those are only three out of, you know, 17 games. Like, in 2023, and we were just talking about it, how it was a tough season afterwards. Like, what really hurt them that year, well, it was a lot of things, but that gauntlet where, like, they couldn't catch their breath because they had, like, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Niners, the Cowboys, like, all in a row, that really impacted them. So the schedule coming out tomorrow, like, will have a great impact on how this season goes. Like, how the games are laid out does impact teams, and they do have a very tough slate of games coming up.
So, speaking of next year, our good friend Ruben Frank, in his 10 Thoughts column the other day, wrote something about him believing that the Eagles' offense next year would be significantly improved, and he talked about continuity. He mentioned the Eagles' offense last year, 7th in points, 8th in yards, 10th on third down, 11th in yards per play, 13th in the red zone. And he mentioned having 10 of 11 starters back year over year is not something you see very often. And going back even the previous year, you still have a lot of cohesiveness. What sort of jump offensively in terms of production do you think is possible for the Eagles last year into next year?
I mean, I think it starts with the passing game. I think that you will see a better passing offense. And if you look at, you know, I know you guys played that Brandon Graham clip where he said he thinks it'll be a different offense and they're going to, you know, throw or more balanced.
More balanced.
Word he used.
Yep.
If you look last year, like they were, I think they were dead last in the league in passing attempts in the first quarter. And I think they were 28th in the league in passing attempts on first down. So that's not like score dependent. Like that's truly just like they went into games wanting to run the ball. I think next year you are going to see them probably at least try initially to throw the ball more. And if you told me why should someone believe the offense will be better next year? I truly do believe like Jalen winning those two games at the end of the year. Like I think buying Jalen stock right now is a smart investment. I think he is going to have a better year than he did last year. So the continuity thing doesn't really do it for me. Like they still lost their offensive coordinator, their main play caller. Like there's still going to be change there. But I just think the quarterback is going to have a great year next year.
I'm not questioning your football acumen. I am questioning your stock acumen. And then that when you're buying stock, it's usually when something is undervalued.
Yeah.
If you think he's the second best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, his stock's pretty high.
Should we buy Apple stock too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, what you're right. The stock thing's not great. You're right.
Yeah.
But I
was willing to let you cook.
Bad.
You were cooking there for a minute.
He was cooking.
I was cooking, yeah.
He was cooking.
Well, to be fair,
sure.
You guys wouldn't place the Jalen stock too high. So any Jalen stock you have, I'll buy.
My stock's properly rated.
Yeah, top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Top 10. Yeah.
Well, top 10.
Are we expecting an MVP caliber season this year?
What do you think?
Yeah. I really think those last two games were like a changing point in Jalen.
It's like a springboard into this year. Yeah.
If he doesn't finish top 5 in MVP voting, are you disappointed?
Well, what did he finish this year? I'm trying to like.
Well, there's
I feel
no way
like
it was top 5. He didn't make the Pro Bowl.
No, but I feel like he was in the conversation at one point. But regardless, like, I think if he doesn't finish top 5, that would be
in your mock MVP voting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he clearly should have been top 5, whether or not he was.
He clearly should have been.
But I do think, like, Jalen has talked about how that loss in the Super Bowl, like, did weigh on him. And we've spent a lot of time on this station talking about, like, why has Jalen been different, right? Like, and I do think the win has changed him. So I do expect, now look, will he set the franchise record for completions in training camp? Like, that's pretty
that's
tough.
That's going to be tough to do.
That's going to be tough to do. That is going to be tough to do. But I do think there's a world where he has a better season next year now that Super Bowl loss is off his back.
Well, I'd hope so.
Well, but I'm actually going to agree with Elliot here on on those two games potentially changing him. I think
sometimes
we look at – shut up, Jack.
Sometimes, I actually do agree. Sometimes I'm saying with a smile because I like messing with Elliot.
Well, sometimes we look at progress. You know, the phrase progress is not always linear. It really isn't. You expect players to get better a little bit every time, and that's not really what happens. Sometimes there are moments that are forks in the road, and sometimes they're bad. You know, something can happen to a player. It happens in basketball. They miss a big free throw. All of a sudden, they can't hit free throws anymore, like Nick Anderson. Or sometimes something happens good, and it sort of crystallizes how they'll play or how they think about the game. And I think there is a possibility that what we saw, I just think it's because what we saw in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl was not outrageous. He didn't throw for 400 yards. Like,
they can be duplicated.
Like, what he did is a lot of what we were looking for all season long for those of us who thought that the offense could be more productive. So I do think that those two games, if he maybe saw something or felt something or you know, something just clicked in a way, that if he carries it, and I also do believe about him that he is one player on this team where I believe in his ability to handle success. Like, I don't think he's going to come into this season as a guy who is who's resting on his laurels and all those things. So I think it is setting up for that. I think it is setting up for a season where he can, like, really take a leap where you say he is, where I would believe that he is where you say he is, if he takes that leap.
I do agree with you, like, you know, not resting on his laurels. Like, but, like, he did have an outstanding 2022, and he came out in 2023 and was far more reckless with the ball. I thought he played way more hero ball in 2023, or at least tried to, than he did in 2022. So I just don't think any of these guys, and it's not even really about them, I just don't think we can confidently say any of them are ready to handle success, because we've never actually seen them do it. And the only example we have of them trying to do it, they failed at it, right? So
But I like what I've seen this offseason from everybody. Listen,
I agree.
We all love Saquon. Yeah. He's pretty much the only one that's been making sure he hits all the right
parties.
Yes.
But even the wrong parties.
Yeah, everybody else has been pretty much sort of low key.
Well, he knows his season probably doesn't begin until week 12 or whatever.
I agree.
Right.
So, you know, Jalen has done his, you know, sort of make his appearance at certain upscale events, as he should, going out, representing the organization and being a Super Bowl MVP. But I think he's been toned down for the most part, right? I think Nick Sirianni, out of everybody, has handled it probably the best.
Dude, I love new Nick.
Yes.
Oh, so in on Nick.
Because he's been locked
in. He's trying to get that contract, you know?
Yeah.
Got to lay low, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind that. And I don't mind ownership saying, let's see how you handle this offseason first. Just make sure you're not down in Avalon with your shirt off.
Come on, give it 2 weeks, though.
Going crazy. So I kind of like the way that the offseason has gone thus far.
Elliot, if you won the Super Bowl, would you be at every big party like Saquon, or would you be more like Jalen?
Come on.
The little amount of success I've had in my career and the way I self-inflate there is no question. If I won the Super Bowl, I would have a disastrous next season.
Well, hold on. It could be happening with Eagles Insider of the Year.
Could you imagine the video of Elliot with Chalamet and all banged up with Tim Chalamet?
The Elliot hand twirl?
The twirl as he's dancing.
The truth is, I think I could envision myself getting in that scenario.
I gotta be honest.
How I would handle it.
Depending on when we won the Super Bowl in my career, I could go either way with it.
Oh, really?
I mean, if I won it when I was younger, I definitely would have been.
Well, what about 04 Ike? What about 04 Ike?
Yeah, 04 I probably was a little more tamed by
grown
then.
Up.
Yeah, I was a little more tamed by then. I still would have won it. I would enjoy it.
Oh, you would have been. You would have been out there.
So, Elliot, you're not in studio with us, but we have to keep you just for the beginning of what we have coming up next, because I've done a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say half-hearted. I've tried my best to defend Paul George. And what he said today, I think we all need to be here for, because it's actually infuriating. And Daryl, make some phone calls.
Make some phone calls. We got to go. By the way, Phil's game officially postponed.
Philly's game, doubleheader tomorrow.
Doubleheader. Okay. 1 and 6:15. So if people are heading down to the ball game, turn around.
Turn around. There's no game. We
will 6:15.
Yeah.
We will
so
play
long in between games.
So they can due to admissions, right?
Yeah.
Is it two admissions?
It's not an old school doubleheader.
Yeah, so everyone's got to leave, and then the new people got to come in.
Yeah, I guess.
So we will have that audio. We will play for you and play for Elliot of Paul George coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Ramblewood Country Club for the Surfside Invitational.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.